how I want to start this morning off is with conversation. To your person to your left and to your right, or you feel free to, if you don't like the person to your left or right. And I looked at you and I said, hopefully you like the person to your left and right. Sorry, I don't know why I looked at you when I just said that. No offense, Paul. No offense, I mean. But if you don't like the person to your left and your right, I'm going to look down. Look behind you. Or if you don't have anybody to your left or right, then that should have been a better way of saying that. Remember number four, we forgive each other of their faults. Let's have this conversation. Who are the people, and we're looking at it from a church context. Who are the people that we tend to reject? I'll give you an example. We have somebody that comes in and, you know, a family, they got a coat on, they got a tie, and, you know, they come walking in, the wife's maybe got a dress or whatever else a woman might wear, and we're like, well, they look like a good Christian family. I mean, don't we kind of tend to feel like that sometimes? But if somebody was to walk in with dirty cut-up jeans and, you know, say they got all metal hanging out of places that faces really weren't intended to have metal hanging out of, and they got like tattoos like on their face. What about that person? Did I just do a little stereotyping a little bit? But that's, I intended to do so. And so what are the, just talk amongst yourself. Who are the people that we tend to reject in society, especially when we think about who we are as the church? Go ahead and talk. Now, y'all like to talk more than that. I know you do. I see Shana pointing fingers. Don't point fingers at, like, we're talking about people that we tend to reject, and you're like, we reject you, we reject you. That's not what I meant. In the last couple of weeks, we have been, we've kind of gone to a different place. We finished up, we're going through this, through the Gospels in a chronological way, which is challenging because they're not all written chronologically. So it's really challenging to find out which was next and where Jesus was teaching, where he was healing, where he was here at this time. But we do know from, we were pretty safe for the last couple of weeks when we were in the Gospels, when he was on the Sermon on the Mount. We knew he stayed place for a little bit of time, and we went through that. It took several weeks. I loved that. I loved that study. But after that, we went and brought our Wednesday night study, which was 1 Corinthians. We looked at verses, chapters 12, 13, and 14 as a church. And then last week, we went to Haggai, a little side thing, which that was powerful. I mean, just when I was reading it, it was just what God is saying. It's encouraging, and you just can't question the intentions of God. And for us to be those people who are about his work and about us obeying him. From Old Testament, New Testament, he is clear. He is clear. And so that's been a great study looking at that. And hopefully it's not just a great study. Hopefully it's things that we are implementing in our life. But today we turn back to coming back to the Gospels and chronologically trying to find that. And so we come into this this interaction, this historical account of when Jesus came and he was met by a leper. And now this account is, we find it in Mark and Luke, but I stayed in Matthew with it, and we will visit one scripture in the book of Mark from it that he adds that's really important for what we're talking about today, a really important period. But I picked Matthew 8 because it says, when Jesus came down from the mountain. So we knew that he was up on the mountain, Sermon on the Mountain, when Jesus came down. So chronologically, we see that this was Jesus' next move. And so we're going to pray, and then we're going to read from Matthew 8, 1 through 4, and then we're going to talk about this one who is unclean and how he approached Jesus Christ. And then after I pray, if you are of those that like to stand while we read scriptures, please feel free to do so. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you how you have orchestrated this time of worship. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the power of your spirit. Thank you, Lord, that regardless of what we've been through, what we have done, Lord, and Lord, there's a time, we all have a testimony, Lord, of a time that you made us clean. Lord, where we came to a place of faith and you atoned, Lord, for our sins, and then you washed us clean with the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that reality. Lord, I pray for those that are in this room who have yet to come to that place where they have been redeemed. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in their life now, today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Lord, open up our eyes, our minds, our hearts, Lord, as we explore your scriptures. Not picking and choosing what we want to apply to our life, but may all the truth of your scripture, Lord, may it shape us more into the image of your Son, Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. It says, when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And the leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Amen. So here we go. This man with he had leprosy all over him. Now leprosy, I mean, he was the unclean of the unclean. There was no one who would have been more unclean than this type of leper. There's different forms of leprosy, but this form of leprosy was the one that required him to be dressed in black, to have rags hanging off of him. It required for him to be sent out of the community. Be sent out of the villages. They had to live by themselves. There were leper colonies. And when they did come around other people, they had to shout, unclean, unclean, unclean. It was by the law. They had to proclaim that where people would know, hey, don't go again next to him. Don't go next to her. Do not touch them. Do not follow them. And again, it was just a tough time. I mean, more than a tough time, that's an understatement. There are sores all over their body. Imagine there's flesh-eaten parts of his body. There was dry, flaky, white things. His body was disfigured. And so this leprosy had just eaten away at this man. Oh, just emotionally, he was alienated. He was desperate. He was labeled as a leper. I mean, that's just the worst thing that could have ever happened. Imagine he was empty. He was helpless. There's nothing that he could do about it. And then again, just lonely. He was just lonely. And then he saw Jesus. And what did we just read? That he came and he bowed down. Depending on your thing. Some I think the NIV says that he fell down. And then others say that he knelt down. Regardless of how it says, he came with an attitude of reverence, an attitude of worship. And said, Lord. And, I mean, just think about that whole word there, Lord. And again, the scripture says that he begged. He came and he begged, and he didn't give a question. Lord, will you? He didn't make a plea. Lord, I need you. He said, Lord, you can. Amen. Amen. Lord, you can. But a statement, Lord, that whole recognition of who Jesus was. Lord, he says, if you're willing, he says, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. Can you imagine the boldness of this leper going up and to confront Jesus? Not confront Jesus, but to beg Jesus this here, to do this, to bring this healing, bring this cleansing. I mean, he could have gotten in trouble as well. But he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then what do we know? We see here that Jesus touched him. This is a big deal. Leprosy was contagious. And so you weren't supposed to touch. And what did Jesus do? Jesus reached out and touched an untouchable man. And instantly it says that the leprosy was gone. Mark 1:41, it'll be up on the board, but I'm just going to flip over there and read it from Scripture. It says, well, I'm going to back up to 40. 141 is going to be up on the board, but I'm just going to back up to bring you back into context. It says, and again, this is where Mark is sharing here. It says, and a leper came to Jesus beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then and Mark includes this here. He says in verse 41, moved with compassion. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Oh, that issue of compassion. Everything that Jesus had done was because of the compassion and the love and the grace and the mercy of a loving God. Here, Jesus was moved with compassion, again, touched him and cleansed him instantly. An incredible miracle had just occurred before all these people's eyes. And then what Jesus tells him to do, go straight to the priest. And why did he go to the priest? Well, first, the law is important to Christ. We've looked at that over and over again as we've gone through the gospel so far. The law is important. Jesus came to fulfill the law. We see that in Hebrews where Jesus becomes the high priest. He is the perfect sacrifice. The law doesn't go away just because Jesus came. He came to fulfill it. And so here the law is important to Christ, but also in order for this man to come out and be a part of the community again, he had to be given a certificate by the priest. And so Jesus says, go to the priest, don't tell anyone. That's another sermon, don't tell. And what does he do? He goes and tells everybody. And we say, hey, go tell everybody, and we don't tell anybody. And then Jesus says, hey, don't tell anybody, and everybody, they go off and tell everybody. And maybe that's next week's sermon. I'm just kind of hitting me differently right now. But again, biblically, leprosy is often described or compared to or likened to that of sin. Sin, it leaves us much like this man felt here, I imagine, alienated, maybe desperate, sometimes labeled, sometimes stereotyped. It leaves us empty. It leaves us helpless. It leaves us lonely. When we're with people, it's like, woo, life's like, great, but inside it's just really, we're just empty. And Jesus, though, he is the one that can cleanse. Now, just a few minutes ago, I asked you, what kind of people do we tend to reject? Us, and what are some that y'all, some things that y'all shared? What are some people that types of people that we tend to reject? People don't think like us. Yeah. Say again. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. What about some other things? I did mention something, people who tend to have, blue hair in my generation used to mean the old people, the blue hairs, didn't it? Their hair was so white, it was like blue in the light. Well, blue hair now is like a real thing, I mean, what about those people? We think, oh boy, here goes the church. We did mention people with piercings in all different kinds of places that just pierces aren't supposed to be. What about homosexuals? What about people who call themselves atheists, agnostic? What about people who are just mean people? What about people who, I can keep on going. But the reality, there's a lot of people that we don't maybe verbally reject, but in our hearts, we kind of walk the other way. We go the different ways. People who are not like us. And that is not the compassion of Christ. In the same way as the Jewish people, in the same way as the people treated this leper, the sinners in this world are all around us, and the church can tend to, we don't make them say unclean, but we're the ones saying, ooh, unclean, 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 stay away from that one. Hey, my kids, stay away from those type of people. Isn't it true, my kids? Hey, stay away from them, stay away from them. There is some wisdom in that. We do know that. But when it comes to the case of Christ, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to being the light that we just sang about, and right there I want to make a side note. When I prayed that God he orchestrated this, I did not know that Don was singing clean today. I didn't. I mean, that's something that she and Josh had something, had that plan for, I guess, a week or more. And so I had no idea. So that is so just God moving in that and orchestrating this. But there are people in our life. Maybe it's people, maybe it's skin color, maybe it's language, maybe it's ethnic, maybe it's social economic, maybe it's, again, all those other things that people are just struggling with in this world. We seem to reject. Again, maybe not verbally, maybe not consciously, but spiritually we reject. But we are called to be the light of the world. We are called to be the light of Christ, and we are to love everyone. Now, I want to point out just that nowhere, I mean, Jesus is on the mountain. He gives us the greatest sermon ever preached by Jesus himself. And then he's coming down. How did this, and also in Matthew, and again, we got to take into account all the Gospels. But up to this point in Matthew, there's no healings that are recorded. Jesus' healing ministry is just getting started. How did this leper even know that he could come to Christ? I mean, it was so opposite of what he was allowed to do. How did he even come? So I want to back us up a little bit when in the Gospels that we talked about. Remember what happened when Jesus was with John at the Jordan? He was what? He was baptized. He was immersed into the river, and he came back, and then something happened. He was what? Boy, y'all are quoting some scripture. I love it. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so really there's these amazing things that we see Jesus doing. It doesn't happen until after he's filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes upon him. We see Christ doing just amazing things in scripture. As we study through the Gospels, we're not to these points yet, but we have looked at them. We have talked about them in the past. Where there is a time where Christ is going to teach in John 14. I encourage you to read John 14, 15, 16. We encourage you to do that a couple weeks ago. Where he's teaching in the Holy Spirit. He's saying, hey, I must go. Whenever I go, I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He tells everything that the Holy Spirit does. And he says to them, hey, you will do greater things than me. Can you imagine that? Here, Jesus, the greatest the Son of God, the most perfect, he is saying, hey, I'm just going to send my Holy Spirit, and you're going to do greater things than me. Can you imagine that he has given us that statement? And that he said, you're going to do greater things than me. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And when we come to a place of salvation, we've come and we've understood that from what we studied in 1 Corinthians 12. When we are saved and we come to the place where the Holy Spirit becomes a part of us, he gives us a gift. He is working in us and through us. So again, like this leper, like the work of Jesus Christ, through all that happened, I mean, think about this. The same Spirit that was working, and this is a song. I don't mean to take it from a song, but it's true. The same Holy Spirit that was working in Jesus doing miraculous things is the same Holy Spirit that's working in us today. That is true. That is true. And so number one, what we're going to look at, and the introduction was longer than the actual points to bring you some relief. It says what I wrote here is that the Holy Spirit is at work in all the followers of Christ. Something that I see and that we learn from this passage is just as Christ was working in the world, and he was cleansing, he was praying, he was teaching, he was loving, he was admonishing, he was living perfectly, he was doing it because first he was the Son of God, fully human, but yet fully God as well, and that's another sermon as well, but filled with the Holy Spirit, and he has given us the Holy Spirit, and if we are followers of Christ, then it is true that the Holy Spirit is at work in us today. I mean, think about it. So Christ comes, he lives a perfect life, he's anointed with the Holy Spirit, he goes through, he teaches, he shows the way, he's the perfect example, he dies for our sins, he is laid in the tomb, he rises again, he spends 40 days with his disciples and with others as well. We looked at the resurrection on Wednesday. I don't know why I came to you. I know you're here on Wednesday. So we see that reality, and Christ is teaching the folks, and he said, hey, when I go, wait for me, upon you is going to come the Holy Spirit. We've looked at that. We look at that every Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit came, and God's plan was to bring salvation to a people, call them together in these gatherings that were called eventually the church, that Christ says is the church. We find that in Matthew, says it first to Peter, those who come to the place in the faith, that knowing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, those people who believe that, those are the church. And he's given us the Great Commission to go and shine our lights into a lost world, showing these people the love and the compassion of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the key. It's not a building. It's not some pastor wanting to, or not just the pastor, it's the reality of the church needing to know that we want to bless our youth and our families, and we need a building to do that. And it's not about any of that. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us, cleansing us and working in such a way where, just as the leper was drawn to Christ in here for God's glory, the same is true, that the Holy Spirit's working in us, and we're put where he wants us to be put. He arranges divine appointments, if I can use that word, to where we're in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in the marketplaces, and we have the opportunity to shine that light and to share the love of God and to proclaim the truth of God. Have you ever been in a place and somebody just started talking to you about just all kinds of stuff? You didn't even know them. And you were like, hey, can I pray for you? Right there and all. I mean, why are they drawn there? I can only say it's got to be because of the Holy Spirit. It happens to me. It happens to Stephanie all the time. I guess she looks like more that can talk, and she says, I don't know why they keep doing that. It was the Holy Spirit. I mean, we see when it comes to salvation, again, it is God that draws people. Again, it's never us. It's never our ability. It's never our gifting. Well, it is our gifting. It's the Holy Spirit. But it's not our, hey, look at me. I'm going to save your soul because I know. No, it's not about what you know. It's the Holy Spirit working in you. It is the Holy Spirit that changes. It's the Holy Spirit that delivered you. Can you imagine? I mean, let's think about this for just a minute. We just talked about people we tend to reject. Think about this. Before Jesus saved you, wow, can you think about that? Some of you are like, can I remember that long? I mean, think about that. Think about all the things that you have done. Here's another thing. Think about all the things that you have done since you've been saved. Ouch. Oh, the Christ, the compassion. And think about the conviction. Praise God for that conviction. But it's the Holy Spirit that is working in us. And the same Spirit that was working in Christ, Christ says, hey, I'm going to give to you. And that we have responsibilities to let him live through us. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Number two, though, here, like Christ, we are called to compassion. I mean, what was the motivation for Christ? I mean, Christ could have said, hey, you are breaking the law. You're a leper. Get away from me. Get away from these people. Somebody, hey, where's the scribes and the priests and all? Somebody get this guy away. No. But he was moved by compassion. He was, for the most destitute, the most sinful, the most ugly, the most depraved person in the community, Christ is moved with compassion. Oh, I saw Ed Stetzer, which I don't know if you know who Ed Stetzer is. He's just a popular name, I guess, in Southern Baptist community. He has a tweet, and he sends out some interesting information from time to time. And I was reading through that. He sent something about an opinion piece from the New York Times about evangelicals and. You know, we're evangelicals. An evangelical is somebody who evangelized for the purpose of Jesus, okay? Or something, just put it in a very sorry definition. But we evangelize. We want to tell, we value the Great Commission. We want to tell other people about Jesus Christ. But the reality is that evangelicals are getting a bad name. First of all, the enemy wants to come against that. But there's also a way, sometimes evangelicals are the meanest people in the whole world. People who would say that they are the church are the meanest people in the whole world. Sometimes deacons and pastors and leadership in the church, they're sometimes the meanest people in the whole world. How can that be? But it's true, isn't it? I mean, it is true. I tell you, if we are followers of Christ, we are called to the same compassion. We are called to love God. We are called to love one another. And if you are a mean, non-compassionate person, then friend, I got to confront you and say, where is Christ in any of that? We are called to show the love of God. And we are in a world, and it's just, I don't tell anybody that I'm a pastor until I have to. I don't. Again, I told you that last week because everything changes with them. I mean, like, whoa, that's weird. And but really, the compassion of Christ is the motivation for the reason Christ touched out and cleansed this man. The compassion of God was the reason that he sent Jesus Christ. And the compassion that God has for us is the reason that we can be called Christ followers today. And that same compassion is that should be filling us. I mean, here we are. We remember our sins. Some of us may be in drugs. Some of us with alcoholism. Some of us with fornication, some of us with adultery, some of us with things printed on our skin that we hide. And I'm not saying, I'm not even going to go there. Some of us that have had different things that we don't want people to know about, things that maybe we've struggled with. Maybe we have, there's things that the police know more about us than the church knows about us. Things that we have done, things that we don't want people to know. Maybe abuses that we have done, maybe abuses that we have suffered, maybe bankruptcies, maybe foolish decisions, maybe abortions, maybe giving children away. I mean, we can keep going. But then what happened? The compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ said, hey, I see all of that, but regardless of all that, I still love you. And he touched us, and he made us whole. He made us clean. And that is true of us. And we should be the most loving, compassionate people in the world. In the world. I shared this. I share so many stories. I forget who I share them with. And if I share them with y'all again, just... this happened a while ago, and I'm making sure that parent's not here. There was a parent in my classroom. I thought, oh boy, this is going to be quite the parent. They were one of those people who had things hanging out of places where places shouldn't be hanging out of. And I tell you what, I learned later on in that year that this person had come to a place of salvation, and that they were changed. And I began to get to know them. Oh, and I was so convicted. Here I was judging them, saying, oh, look at them. Here they come. And that person was probably one of the most genuine people that I've ever met when it comes to Christ. Did they still have the things hanging out of places that shouldn't be hanging out of? Yes, they did. But did that change their salvation? No, it didn't. Did they still have markings up and down their arms for different things that we don't want to talk about in the church? They did. But guess what? Christ still loved her. And guess what, church? In the same way, we have to come to the place, especially in this generation. Do you know why a lot of people are doing those things? Number one, because everybody else is, and it seems cool. But why is everyone else doing it? Because there is a spiritual leprosy, and they're feeling empty. They're feeling alienated. They're feeling like something's missing, and there is something missing. It's called Jesus Christ that's missing. And because, you know, it always goes back to Genesis, doesn't it? Back to Genesis 1 and 2, we were created to walk with God, to be with God, and then sin entered the world, and sin separated us from God's love. Or not from, never, forgive me, did not separate us from God's love. He still loves us. That was a false statement. It separates the word just came right out of my mind. I said the wrong thing. But our relationship, it brings a separation. And that's why Jesus came. And I just, when I messed that statement up, that was a false theological statement. It was a lie, and I just kind of beat myself up right now. So what the point am I trying to make? I'm going to get back on this. Through Christ, we're called to compassion. All right. So number three, getting back on track. I'm sorry for that. That just kind of rattled me when I said that. Because we are, and let's make that perfectly clear, we are not separated from the love of God. God loves us even in the midst of our sins. That was something that just was spoken incorrectly. So, but number three, like Christ, we must be willing. Willing. And I leave that as with that ellipsis there. We must be willing to love. That's the first thing. We must be willing to love. But they don't look like me. They don't smell like me. They don't dress like me. I know where I was going. They don't dress like us. They don't look like us. They don't love for us because they experience this because they don't have Jesus. That's what they have, a void, and they try to fill everything. Oh, I'm empty. Let me fill it with alcoholism. Let me fill it up with partying. Let me fill it with drugs. Let me fill it with sex. Let me fill it with all these different things. We try to fill it with what the world, and they always come back empty until we meet Jesus, right? But like Christ, we must be willing to love. We must be willing to share. We must be willing to pray. Listen to the church. We must be willing to serve. Serve, and however that looks, the Holy Spirit working through you. Oh, friends, we've come to the place of knowing the power of life change. And when God begins to work through you and work through, I mean, he has put the church here for the purpose of going out and sharing the gospel. Again, the light of the world. It's us. And when you go out and the Holy Spirit works through you, he calls us to be a part. Did y'all see in your bulletin? I sent this out this week, but I decided to print it in the bulletin as well. How can you and I become an effective witnesses for Christ? Did you read that? Did y'all see that on the text I sent out this week? It says, ask God to give you an evangelistic burden for others. I mean, think about that. Do you even pray that? I mean, I was joking, but being serious, Christ says, don't tell, and the guy went out and told, and then we say, go out and tell, and then we don't tell. Does it come to this, that we don't have an evangelistic burden for others? The church is the hope for the world today. There is no other. The church is the hope for the world today. Ask God to give you an evangelistic burden for others. Number two, live a consistent Christian life before all people. Friend, do you live a consistent Christian life? Are you willing to live a consistent Christian life? It requires prayer. I love the verse that they put out on the board this week, that Jane put out on the board, she and Dick. Pray without ceasing. Are we praying? Lord, help me live consistent life before all people. Pray, Lord, help us build bridges to others. Oh, do you even know the gospel? If I said, hey, here's a sheet of paper in a day, I want you to just write the gospel out in just a couple sentences. Some of us would be like, I say, I'm not going to let you leave until you do it. And I take your Bibles away. I mean, essentially, gospel acronym, God's own Son provides eternal life. Oh, do you know the gospel? We cannot be the people of Christ if we don't even know the gospel. If you don't know the gospel, then maybe is your life even changed? I mean, sometimes you even know your testimony. If you don't have a testimony, friend, then you don't have Christ. That's possible. Well, like Christ, we got to be willing. And God is working in you. He has worked in you. Are you willing to let Christ work through you? Again, merely, we are the mission of Christ in this world. And I'm going to wrap this up with a big idea. And it's more of a prayer. It's our mission, really. I just put our mission in the context of this. May everyone within the reach of our congregation, since the drawing of God, receive the compassion of Christ and be cleansed of all their sins as the Holy Spirit works in us or through us. Friends, we see Jesus Christ with a leper here, moved by compassion, changing lives, changing this life, and we see Jesus changing other lives as well. We too, filled with the Holy Spirit, moved through compassion, can change this community.